Thank you, Lord, for being our vision. Thank you, Lord, for being in our midst as we worship and to praise you, for you alone art worthy. So I just pray, Lord, as we gather together as your people in your house, as your family, that once again, O Lord, you honor us with your presence. And truly, O Lord, that you allow Holy Spirit to have free flow, even in our midst. So just thank and just praise you for being a good God to us. Continue to speak to us, not in the worship, but through your word. That truly, O Lord, let the meditation of our hearts, the words, Lord, I share, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are God, our Lord, our Redeemer. Amen, amen. Before I dismiss the children, we want to recognize the Form 1 who is here with us for this year. All the Form 1s, can you all please stand up? All the Form 1s. Okay. We welcome the Form 1s for this to our body of Christ here to join us for family worship and for all the other worships. Okay? Even now, let's pray. Let's pray not only for Form 1s, but also pray for the other children. Oh Lord, just thank you, Lord, for each and every child here. Truly, O Lord, each of them are precious in your sight. Can you ask, O Lord, that from young, that they may experience, learn of your goodness, and truly, O Lord, grow in the fullness of your blessing upon their life. Each of them will grow up to a young man and young woman, young lady after your own heart. So I just thank you for the children. Be with them, continue to speak your word into them through the CCLs as they learn together. So I just praise you, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Blessed New Year to everyone. In case I don't get an opportunity to wish you personally. This is a very familiar verse to many of us. That they might be with him, they might send them out to preach and the authority to drive out demons. We talk about being with a passion. We talk about going with a purpose. We talk about doing with power. Truly, time flies. This verse first came to us in the year 2016. And this has been our guiding verse for the last 3 years and you for this year as well. And continue to learn what it means to be with Jesus. But I think, as Heather's alluded to, as last night I shared with the DGLs, there is so much more. There is so much more of the Lord that we need to taste of, we need to experience. Our human body is very wonderful. Do you know that we produce about 1 liter of saliva every day? 1 liter. 1 liter is quite a lot now. Okay? Of saliva every day. Do you know that if we lay out all our blood vessels end to end, we can encircle the earth equator 4 times. That's how the length of our blood vessels are. Do you know that you lose 4 kilos of skin every year? Be thankful, say amen. If not, every year 4 kilos more. Okay, you lose 4 kilos by shedding skin that you don't even recognize. Our nerve speed can go at 400 kilometers an hour. Here to Singapore, 1 hour. That's how fast nerve conduction travels. Our heart beats 35 million times a year, more than 3 billion times average lifespan. And a human being, we take about 20,000 breaths every day. Okay? Some people breathe a bit more, some people breathe a bit less. On average, 20,000 times. You stop breathing, what happens to you? What happens if you stop breathing? Okay? Then you could do a wake service. Now, just for the fun of it, how many cells are there in the average human body? Anyone to guess? How many cells are there in your body? A lot, okay. How much is a lot? How many million? Trillion, okay? Okay. If you take by average weight of cell, you get about 70 trillion cells. Each cell, average weight is about 1 nanogram. Average lah, okay? You go by the volume of the cell, you come to about 15 trillion cells. Each cell's volume is about 4 billionth of a cubic centimeter. So it really means 70 trillion and 15 trillion. And they're still trying to figure out how many cells we have. But generally, the scientist tells us that we have 37.2 trillion cells in our body, average body. Huh? The bigger body is different again. Okay, on the average body, 37 trillion cells. Question. In one day, how many cells die in the human body on the average? Because so many cells. You think how many cells in your body die every day? Any guesses? All the scientific, all the trivia and all that. Okay. Just to give you a hint. 2.5 million red blood cells die every second. 2.5 million red blood cells die every second. It's estimated we lose about 20 plus billion cells every day. 20 billion cells every day is dying. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because if 20 plus billion cells die every day, the body will need to replace 20 plus billion cells. You can't keep on dying, all dying and not replacing. If not, you'll shrink. You'll disappear. So the fact that our cells continue to die, there must be a replacement. As a continuous daily process, growth, renewal, regeneration, new cells being made. He estimated, you know your bones, your skeletal system, in a way, is replaced every 10 years. What do you mean? I don't think you get a new bone every 10 years. Okay? Because your bone is dynamic. There's bone loss and there's bone replacement. And they keep on going on well. In about 10 years, literally, you get a new skeleton. Okay? Your red blood cells only last about 4 months. They die, and new red blood cells need to replace it. Your skin is replaced every 2 to 4 weeks. Huh? You may feel nice, okay, because there's loss of skin and new skin coming up. The cells on your stomach lining, for those who eat a lot, good to know that's replaced every 4 days. You got new cells to eat more, okay? But God's creation is so marvelous that the cells directly lining the stomach wall, because the gastric acid is so powerful, is replaced every 5 minutes. Continuous replacement. So the maxim that we have is, the moment we stop growing, we start dying. The moment we stop growing, stop regenerating, stop renewing, we start dying. Now, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul wrote about the body, that the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all the parts are many, they form only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Each part of your human body, wonderfully and marvelously made by God, is important. It's very important. But God has combined the members of the body that has greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Talking about the body that we have, the human body. And he concludes, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you a part of it. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, prophets, teachers, and go on, whole area of spiritual gifts and all that. What Paul is saying is that your human body is like the church, the body of Christ. As God has made a wonderful human body, so many trillion cells, and every day 200 plus billion cells are being replaced, renewed. It's a continual process of change, renewal, replacement. And that's important for us as we enter this new year. We cannot remain as we are. We cannot afford to remain as we are, because there's so much more that God wants to do in your life, my life, our life together as God's people. So the church is truly the body of Christ. As the cells of the body, human body, are continually being renewed and replaced. Similarly, the church, the body of Christ, you and I. The church, the body of Christ, need continually to be renewed and to grow. If we don't, what happens? We die. So there's no place for us to say that, oh, I'm happy as it is, I don't do anything else. We need to continue, be renewed, to grow, and to move on in the Lord. So every believer, every Christian, you and I, who make up the church, we must undergo this process. You and I in SSMC, we need to continue to be renewed, refreshed, need to grow. Cannot stay status quo. I don't do anything else. I think that is not an option. We all know very well our vision statement as a church together. We printed, a book. Okay, some of you may still end up having a Bible. Okay, that lives need to be transformed. We need to expand God's kingdom. Transforming life, expanding God's kingdom is part of what God asks us to do as a body of Christ, as a church. Every one of us needs, like I said, renewal, change, and growth. We need to do that. If we don't, literally we will die. Maybe not physically yet, but spiritually we will die. So my question to each one of you, brothers and sisters, has your life been transformed? Are you undergoing transformation? Are you transforming? Because our vision is transform life, transforming lives. We cannot say we want to remain the same. It's a need for us to renew, to grow. Ephesians 4 says this, verse 11 to 13. The first part says, it was God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And goes on a very important part of this. Yes, there are all the giftings and all that. Pastors, teachers, the purpose is to prepare God's people for works of service. As a pastor, teacher, whatever role we play, as a leader, we are to prepare God's people to do good works. So as your pastor, it's my calling, my ministry, my duty to prepare you, God's chosen people, for works of service. There's no two ways about it. I need to encourage you, work alongside, work together, that we can do what God calls us to do, individually, as a family, as a church family together. And this is part of our heritage, part of our heritage as we begin this year, to remind ourselves, John Wesley. John Wesley says a few quotations, down to quote, that's very meaningful for us. True faith cannot exist without works. If you say you got faith to believe in God, your faith will be seen in your works. What you do is important. Use a very big word. Justification is conditional on obedience and progress in sanctification. Okay, what does that mean? Let me explain. Okay, justification is when you are made right before God. When you confess you are a sinner, you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are justified. Okay, that's justification. After you are justified, the life that you live is what we call sanctification. To be made right, to be made more holy, to be made more perfect. Until you come a time when you die. Okay? The big word for it is glorification. We go to God in glory. So what John Wesley is saying is justification, after you are saved, after you make right, is conditioned on obedience and progress as you walk this Christian life. There's thing to be done. There's thing to be done. And that is important for us to understand. That we cannot just say, I'm justified, I'm going to heaven, I die, let it be, don't trouble me, I won't trouble you. It's not an option. that once you are saved, the way of sanctification is something that we must walk through. And in walking through, we must do what God asked us to do. Keeping the moral law contained in the Ten Commandments, you all know, as well as engaging in works of piety, holiness, and works of mercy, indispensable for our sanctification. Big words to use, but very simply means this: once you are saved, okay, you need to work, do good works, need to do service, this whole process of walking your Christian life until you come glorified, until you meet God in heaven. This walk is where all of us are, the walk of sanctification, to be made holy, to be made perfect. And he goes on to say, personal salvation always implies Christian mission and service to the world. You cannot say that I'm saved, that's it, I don't do anything else. It's not an option. You need to live the life of holiness, being made perfected, maturing in Christ. Scriptural holiness entails more than personal piety. Scriptural holiness talks about love of God. It's always linked with love for neighbor and passion for justice and renewal in the life of the world. What it means is that you cannot say, I love God, I love God, I love God, I don't love my neighbor. It's not an option. Can I say, I love God, I love God, I love God, I don't care about justice, I don't care about all this. As we live our Christian life, being saved, that's important. And this is exactly what Paul himself also writes in Philippians 2:12. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. We are not working for our salvation. That's wrong. Salvation is by faith and God's grace. But once you are saved, once you are justified, you need to work out your salvation. There's something that can be visible and seen in what you do. You need to change. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to touch you and to change you and to make you a better person day by day, year by year. That's important. Remaining the same, as I said, is not an option. And the last part of Ephesians 4 talks about not need to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We are the body of Christ. SMC Church is the body of Christ. If each one of us do the works of service, we as a church will be built up. Built up to what end? Until we all reach unity in the faith, knowledge of the Son of God. As we are being built up, God will unite us together as we serve together. And God will grant us the knowledge, his knowledge, allow us to do what only he can do. And to become what? Become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What this verse is saying is that all of us must do the work of service so that we, together as the body of Christ, may be built up. Built up, united, knowing who God is and what God is doing in our life. And we continue to walk into maturity, becoming more and more Christ-like. That is our goal. That is our purpose as a church. As a church, we are not just here to worship and say, oh, praise God. Outside the church, I do what I want. God, you don't bother me, I won't bother you. It's not an option. We are justified, we are saved, undergo the process of sanctification until we meet Jesus when we are glorified. This is the pathway that we need to walk. So as we come back to our vision statement of transforming life, expanding his kingdom, a new perspective to look at it, transforming life is an individual action. I cannot transform your life, you cannot transform my life. I, you, need to transform your own life. But unless each one of us take that initiative, that action to transform life before God, God's kingdom cannot expand. Because expanding God's kingdom is a corporate act. Together, if all of us' lives are being transformed, God's kingdom will expand. But we need each one of us in the body of Christ, SSMC, to make a difference, to be a difference. And we know our mission statement as well, that we are disciples called to make other followers of Christ. You are a disciple, I'm a disciple. Our calling is to help other people follow Jesus Christ. And that is important for us to be reminded in the beginning of this new year. As well as we seek to bring God's kingdom into every area of life, the seven mountain kingdoms and realms, we are called not only to help another person become a follower of Jesus, but at the same time, wherever we are to be the light and salt that can bring God's presence into where we are, in our families, our workplaces, where we play, where we go shopping, vacation, all that. Bring God along. And that is important for us as a church. Now, sometimes, we look at this many times, we know the vision, we know the mission, but there seems to be a disconnect between the vision and the mission. What do I mean? Because unless we are serious about transforming life, our own life, nothing happens. Transform lives, we must go and make disciples, followers of Jesus. If that does not happen, nothing happens. If we don't live as Christians where we are, where we go, where we play, nothing happens. End of it, we ask, hey, how come God's kingdom not expanding? How come our church not expanding? Why our DG not growing? It's important for us to ask ourselves. Everything starts with you and with me. You and me. Tell your neighbor, starts with us. Start with us, okay? If you and I, each one of us, start being a disciple of Jesus, and not being a disciple, but one who wants to make another person a follower of Jesus, share Christ, if he's a Christian, encourage him to grow in his faith, become truly a follower of Christ. And yes, we make other disciples, other followers of Christ, and we live our life, our spiritual life together out in action and bring God into each area of our life. If we do that consistently, we do that persistently, then I can say God's kingdom can expand. But again, it begins with you and with me. This is a circle. This is a circle. Everybody wants to see God's kingdom grow. But if we are not willing to be a disciple, we are not willing to disciple others, it will not happen. I think that's important for us. So just a reminder that it begins with me, myself, that you want to be a disciple, and you know that as a disciple, you find it very hard to do everything by yourself. You know that alone, you cannot do much. You need to find someone else to journey with you, to walk with you, to encourage you, sometimes to push you on. If we do that, we are a disciple, we find someone to go along with you, together, two, three, small numbers, we can change. We can make a difference. And truly, we can make a difference for God's kingdom. The same thing. But again, it depends and begins with each one of us. We've got a nice chart, as I said. Our discipleship group structure, nice chart out in the foyer there. I think discipleship groups are foundational. Foundational to our church life and growth. But each one in the discipleship group needs to play their part. Many of you are already in the discipleship group. I praise God. But my plea for you for this year is many more of you need to join a discipleship groups. As I announced, I think, last Sunday, okay, I give you 3 months. You either choose a group or our choir league assign you, I tell let you know which group you are linked up with. Okay, you got a choice. We believe in democracy, guided democracy. Okay. I mean, many of you, when it comes to DG Sunday, you find a group to go to. Right or not? You don't attend regular DG, but DG Sunday, because you've got no service here, you end on one group. Okay? So I just encouraging you, okay? You think there's a group that you want to join, be part of it. We'll work out the logistics, we'll work out the time constraint, all that. Be part of a group. Okay? And be part of what God is doing in the group. Now, fellowship and caring, sharing, learning, growing is happening in the DG. Good fellowship, good caring. If someone gets sick or someone is in need, the group do gather around and encourage one another. That's happening. I praise God for that. But more needs to happen. Much more needs to happen. We need to intentionally start discipling, growing. We need to intentionally reach out and touch lives of people. We need to intentionally take on responsibility and serving, to serve God, to serve God's family. There's a cry for tuition teachers. There's a cry for people to have community work. There's a cry for different ones to the different ministries, children ministry, young adults ministry. There are needs. There are needs. And this is important for us. If we have been blessed, can we be a blessing to someone else? I think that's important. So the whole key is the word intentional. Discipleship, discipling, disciple making will not happen unless you've got intention to do it. I got no magic pill to give you. You take this pill 1-3 times a day, after 1 week you become a disciple. I wish I had. There's no magic pill. Unless you're intentional in wanting to become a disciple, it will not happen. But let's be clear, as I shared with the DGLs in visioning last night, who is a disciple? Who is a disciple? A lot of us say a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? Not wrong, but not complete. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, but there's much more to being a follower of Jesus Christ. Not only being the head, the heart, and the hands. A lot of us, intellectually in our mind, says, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. He saved me. He died for me. No problem. We can feel in our hearts the emotion. But are we ready to serve Him with our hands? Are we ready to walk as a disciple with our feet? 1 Corinthians 11:1 talks about, imitate me, Paul says, as I imitate Christ. Are you imitating Christ? Are you serving? Or is it just an intellectual acceptance of His Lordship? Besides just being a follower of Jesus Christ, there must be intentional discipling and producing other followers of Christ. As I said again and again, I've said here how many times, it'll be very sad when you are glorified, glorification, at your end of time, you find that you are alone. Nobody else that you have brought to the Lord. Not your family members, not your best friend, not your colleague, not your neighbor. Because you never shared about Jesus. Very sad. So it's important for us not only to become a follower of Jesus Christ, but we need to help others to become follower of Jesus Christ. Then our vision, then our mission goes together. If not, we've got a nice vision, but the mission is left undone. I think that's important for us. And not only that, there must be intentionality in making a difference in wherever God has placed us, where we stay, where we work, where we go marketing, where we go shopping. We must make a difference. That's where God's kingdom can invade into your life, into your world. So, a disciple is not just a follower of Jesus Christ, but a follower of Jesus Christ who works out, who lives out his faith in everyday situation, everyday circumstances. Wherever he goes, people know that this is a follower of Jesus Christ. And there's an intentionality in wanting to share Christ so that others may become a follower of Christ. And together, we want to make a difference where we are in your housing estate, in the flock of condominium that you stay. How many other Christians are there? Do you know them or not? If you know them, can you do something to win your flat for the Lord? To win your housing estate for the Lord? But unless we're intentional about it, nothing happens. A year will pass, 2 years will pass. Nothing else happens. Now, five possible reasons why intentional discipling is currently not happening as much as it should among us as God's people. Okay? I think firstly is a lot of us are very comfortable and contented. You don't trouble me, I don't trouble you. Pastor, I come to church, I'm good enough, you know. I think DG, you know, good enough, you know. But there's more. So much more. And many of us are afraid to share with our needs with those who are close to us because of perception acceptance. If I tell you, you don't like me, then you reject me, you judge me, I'm no more friend. So I don't know to tell. We are fearful. The other thing is confidentiality. I share this person, he go and tell the next person, before long the whole church know already. So we dare not be ourselves. Dare not share our needs, our hurts, our pain. Every Sunday I ask you all, how are you? So far everybody says that. What do you say? Good, fine. Is that true? Sometimes pastors, we know things, we hear things. I know this brother is not right, not fine. I ask him, he say fine. You tell me fine, I cannot say you're not fine. I think we need to have a place for us to be able to be ourselves and to grow up. There's no accountability to grow. Whether you grow in your faith spiritually or not, nobody holds you accountable. As your pastor, I should hold you accountable. I ask you, do you read a Bible or not? Everybody says, yes, I read. But do you actually read? So do you need to have a place where we can be safe to be ourselves? And frankly, there's no desire in all our parts and no urgency. We are so taken up. Our time is so limited. All of us are 24 hours. So many things to do. There were no time. Sometimes for God. Sometimes for God's people, sometimes for God's service. I'm not judging anyone, but it's something that we need to think through, especially as we begin this year. So, as a church leadership, we want to help you to find a pathway to do intentional discipling that it can happen. Okay? Introduce you to what we call GIF. GIF stands for growing in faith together. GIF stands for growing in faith together. In your bulletin, we have included a handout, what is GIF and all that. I'll just run through some of the salient points. You can read the rest when you go back home. So what are GIF groups? GIF groups are very small groups, minimum 2%. You can't be a group by yourself. Okay? You can talk to a mirror. Hey, how are you today? I'm fine. What do you eat for lunch? Oh, I ate bread. Oh, yeah, I know. So I also ate bread. You cannot. Okay, you can't be a group alone. So minimum of 2 persons, maximum of 5 persons. The members must have a desire to grow in their faith, a desire to want to grow, a desire to know that so much more of the Lord that I can enter into, that I can receive. And there must be a willingness to be discipled, willingness to be held accountable for your life, a willingness to commit time. We are looking at about 1 hour a week, or some groups may need fortnightly, a willingness to commit just 1 hour of your time. And you desire, in a way, to disciple others. It's a two-way process, a two-way street. In sharing your life with another person, you are also growing. The person speaks to you, you receive, you also grow. So discipling is a two-way process. And the main aim for this is intentional discipleship and discipling. That's the main intention. You are not there to do memory verses. You are not there to learn how to sing. You're not there to memorize scriptures and say, what does Mark say? What does Revelation say? What does Malachi say? You're not there to do that. You are there to learn how to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to live out your Christian life where you are. So what's special about gift groups as such? What's so special? So the numbers are kept small, 2 minimum, maximum of 5. These allow, I just coined a new word, relationability. I don't need such a word, okay? Relationability. Means is a, numbers are kept small, we can build relationship. Okay? And that is important if you want to be able to grow together. Not only relationship, smaller group allow for accountability. Hold one another account. Have you read what did God say to you? What are you doing about it? How is your work? Do you argue with your boss? Sometimes we do not ask such questions. But in a smaller group, we can. Smaller group, easy to be confidential. That's part of the prerequisite for anybody to join. That what is shared in the group remains in the group. No posting on WhatsApp, no posting on social media, Facebook. Hey, today, this man say, he's seen, no. He stole from his boss, no. There's the easiest way to kill the group. Okay? So it's important for us to keep confidential. Because the numbers are small, you are flexible. You can meet, if you want to, at 6 a.m. If you want to, you can meet at 11 p.m. Mama store, let's meet Mama store at 11 p.m. Two or three of you just get together, have a teh tarik, kurang manis, or kosong, and just share life together. Flexible. 2, 3, 4 of you. And because the numbers are small, you can reproduce. Reproducibility. You can multiply. Now, it must be gender-specific. Gender-specific, what it means? Guys, guys, girls, girls, no mixing. Okay? And this is important because there are a lot of private matters they cannot share across sexes. You share your struggles, thoughts and all that. Guys can share with guys. Ladies can share with ladies. So it's gender specific. The goal is very specific. We want to grow as a disciple. You want to grow as a disciple. And it's time limited. What do I mean? We commit, we start. End of December, everything closes. Means the group dissolve in December. January, you want to come back again or not? You decide. There's no life sentence. We end December, that's it. Have a makan celebration. January, decide. Should we come back together again? That will give a freshness to each group. If the group benefit you, you want to continue by all means. If the group is not benefiting you, you are not growing, find another group. Find someone else. So it's important for us to keep things fresh. So give groups only for Christians. You find it very hard if you are non-Christians or searching people in a group. They don't have the same values or same understanding. Allowing you to pray, allowing Holy Spirit to work, allowing Holy Spirit to work in your life. Okay? So only for Christians, and it's all peer discipleship. You're the first among equals. Peer mentoring. In a group, 2 persons, you share. Doesn't mean 1 person share louder is the leader, share softer follower, no. You're both leaders in the group. 3 leaders in the group. And we share and speak into each other's life. That's important. There's no fixed syllabus to complete. Doesn't mean this group must start from Genesis all the way to Revelation and then you're qualified. No such thing. Bible study is different. You can do Bible study. But what you want to come is, how has God spoken to you? And what are you doing about it? A practical part of Christian faith. I think that's important. We do not want any reporting structure, so what is shared in the group remains shared. Don't tell pastor about it, okay? Only requirement is when you start a group, There's a link we'll give to you. They just inform the office that we are such a group. Okay? That this group is starting. That's all. Okay, and then December, everything closes down. January can start again. It's up to you. Whether you find it beneficial, helpful or not. Okay? Anyone can initiate a group. You can start a group. But if you want to start a group, you must know that you got followers or not. Lah. Everyone start a group, no followers, you're alone, no group. Okay? So you find people whom you can click with, chemistry is correct, same wavelength, they call it, young people, all the new terms, lah, okay? Wavelength, lah, chemistry, lah, what else? Age, ah? Page, same page, yes. Facebook page. Okay? All this, you can click, you can form. Just initiate it. Now, anyone can join a group, but the rest of the members must agree. Lah. You got 3 persons in the group, another person to join. Any one of these 3 says, cannot, this person, tak boleh, tak ngam. Then the person cannot join. All must be comfortable, each other's presence. I think that's important. And got covenant, we have printed the thing, the covenant. A covenant you make, a commitment you make before God, that I join this group, this is what I keep. This is what I agree to. Very clear up front. Okay? Don't say I join the group, I don't want to share one, you all share, I listen here. No. We are there to share and to learn and to grow. That's important for the group to function. And any time, you find the group not helpful, close the group or you leave the group. No hard feelings. Because we are on this journey together, a journey of sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ. And we need to do it and help one another do it. The main agenda for gift groups will be mutual accountability for our Christian life. What is God doing in your life? Is there struggles in your life? Sin? How is your walk with the Lord? How's your walk? How is your relationship with your spouse? How's your relationship with your children? We ask you the hard questions. And you're accountable to share. To share what God is speaking to you and what you're doing about it. That's Christian life. A lot of times we can take a verse, expound on the verse, what meaning here, very deep, very deep, very cheap. Don't apply. It's all here, intellectual. But we want to make it practical. How is God's word affecting your life? Are you a better Christian because of this verse, because of this passage? Has it changed your outlook, the way you think, the way you do things? That's important. Lastly, you need to pray. Pray for another. Pray for other needs that you have. This brother may be keen to know the Lord. Pray for me as I share. Pray for me as I walk with him. That's important. Okay? There are a set of guiding questions I think also printed in your pamphlet. And the covenant commitment that I talked about is all printed there. Okay? What gift group are not, what they are not meant to be. Gift groups do not replace discipleship groups. I'll say it again. Gift groups do not replace discipleship groups. Discipleship groups have its function. And a lot of you enjoy discipleship groups. Continue to enjoy them, attend, be faithful, participate. I expect all gift group members to be part of a discipleship group. Okay? But the gift group is for something more, much more. Whole area of discipling and growing the Lord. It's not a Bible study group. Your Bible study group, there are many in town. But this is not a Bible study group. It's for transformation of life. Discipling, making disciples. That's very clear. It's not exclusive. Anyone can join. Okay? But at the same time, it's not inclusive. It's not compulsory for everyone. Doesn't mean I say, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the number one join this group. No. Okay? We don't do that. You must have the desire on your own. You want to be part of it. Okay? As I said just now, we will try to make DGs compulsory this year. Give 3 months to choose. After that, I assign. Don't blame me. Okay, we are very nice people. Very friendly people. Okay. Now, some of you may ask, why another group? We all got discipleship groups. Why not just incorporate this intentional discipleship into discipleship groups? You can try, but I think a hybrid, a group that's too big, cannot do a lot of things that a smaller group can do. I've gone to enough discipleship groups. I asked the pastor, hey, you're having this problem. Why don't you share with your group? You cannot share, lah. You know what? I share, that brother, that sister will tell everybody else one. I cannot share. Have you heard it? Have you heard it or not? I've heard it many times. Okay? So I ask, how are you? I'm fine, lah. Read your Bible now. Hey, I read, lah. Not every day, lah, but I try, lah. Standard answers. But a much smaller group, they ask you. And you choose to be open, you choose to be transparent. Hey, today I fight with my wife, no? She says something, I say something, she says something, I say something, got angry. Pray for me. I got angry with my son, no? Come back so late, and then play games. Pray for me. These are issues of life that we need one another to be our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. So, are gift groups something new? Well, not exactly. It's just part of our heritage, as I shared last night with our in the visioning. Okay, small groups is part of the Methodist heritage. Okay, in case you don't know, we have what we call Methodist societies. What are Methodist societies? Methodist societies are just a local church. Okay, when John Wesley started preaching and all that, all those who, in a way, followed John Wesley, a lot of poorer people, London, Bristol, wherever the believers are, they become a society. Okay, a local church. They meet once a week. They gather together locally. There's a Sunday meeting, what I call closed services. Okay, Sunday meeting, you only come by invitation. I explain what that means. They have seems, public reading, preaching, teaching, and all that. Okay, a lot of itinerant pastors. That's why Methodists use the word circuit. Because there are not enough pastors. One pastor can go to four or five areas on horseback. Huh? That's why I call it a circuit. Circuit rider is for the Methodist tradition. Now, the Sunday morning worship is closed. Only those with a special pass can come for service. Okay? This is the sample, the special pass they gave. How do you get this pass? Okay? After I explain to you how I get this pass. Okay? Sunday evening got a service that's open to everybody. But Sunday morning is a closed service. Only those with a special pass issued by somebody important, you can attend the service. Huh? Okay, I'll explain further what that pass is. Now, class meetings. Besides society, there are class meetings. Now, this started somewhere in the year 1742. What happened was, in the town of Bristol, England, they bought a building. Not enough money to pay for the building. So this guy by the name of Captain Foy, he gave a suggestion. He says, can we, at that time Bristol, about 2,000 members, can we divide these 2,000 members in our society in Bristol into small groups of 12? Okay, small groups of 12. Every week, out of the group of 12, we appoint one leader. The leader will go and visit every one of the 12 in his group. Okay, and each member pay one penny, every week towards the church building fund. That's what he did. And they thought, oh, very great idea. Very good idea. We divide into groups of 12. Everybody, and they collect one penny per week. And every week, the leader will go and visit the person in the house, okay, to find out, to collect the one penny and all that. Some people complain, some of the people are so poor, one penny a week cannot afford. Then Captain Foy says, his own suggestion, I will take the poorest 12. If they cannot pay, I'll pay for him. Okay? The same for all the other leaders. If your members cannot pay, the leader will pay for him. For them. How many DGL say yes? One will do church fundraising, huh? And that's what they did. But what happened was, they found that every week when the leader went to visit these people in the group in their homes, it was a revelation. Revelation by what means? They found that some of the people in their homes, one, alcoholism was a big problem. When they should be at work, some of them were drunk at home. So leader got to help them, counsel them. Two, some of them were beating their children, beating their wives in their home. So the leader dutifully collected one penny, if not pay for them, and reported this to their supervisor. And this is the reason why John Wesley found this idea very intriguing. Yes, this is what we should do. Divide our people into small groups, and every week they meet together to give account for their life. And that's how the small group started. The whole class system started. And they found that people in church is very different from people at home. And there is a need to help them to grow and mature in their faith. So the class meetings were groups of 7 to 12 people, mixed gender. They meet once a week, have a leader. Even a lady can lead at that time. Okay? They started with singing. And they only have one question every week. The leader will share the question, answer the question first, and then everybody takes turn. Okay, for all the good Methodists, what's the question? The one question they ask every week, that I think our DG should ask every week, is, how is your soul today, brother? How is your spiritual life today? And then they started sharing. Start the leader, go one round. Their meeting lasted the most 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Don't talk about warmth and all that. That's all they did to care for one another. The only purpose for this class meeting was watching over one another in love. Your brother, your sister in the Lord, I care for you. How is your life today? Are you walking with the Lord? That's all. And that's where the class grew. They took attendance and they are giving, as I said. And if your attendance is good enough, every quarter, 3 months, you don't miss 3 meetings out of 3 months. You get a ticket, okay? A quarterly ticket, and that's the ticket I showed you just now. In order to attend Sunday morning service, you must have this ticket signed by your leader. Without that ticket, cannot go. Can we try that? Don't attend DG 3 times in 3 months, cannot come. That's how strict they were in the class meeting. And yet the classes grew. The numbers grew. I think that's important. And lastly, they're what we call bands, smaller group, 4 to 6 people, by gender, marital status, and age group. Means men, men, married men, married men, unmarried men, unmarried men. If you are older, older, you are younger, youth, youth, children, children, all separate. These are called bands, okay? It's voluntary membership, it's not compulsory. They have a close weekly meeting, means those in the band will remain in the band, and they shared their life honestly. Guess what's the icebreaker question? The icebreaker question is this: what known sins have you committed since we last met? I would love to do this icebreaker question for DG. What known sins have you committed since our last meeting? What temptation have you met with, and how are you delivered? And they shared life openly and frankly one another. That's what the bands did. Smaller group, accountable for one another, and be willing to share and hold one another accountable. Top 8 ways to guarantee the gift groups will fail. Okay? As I shared last night, don't start one, don't join one, nothing happens. You turn a meeting, you turn a meeting into something driven by a curriculum. All you want is more head knowledge, more study, more understanding, but nothing in the practice, nothing in the walking of life. That's not the purpose of gift groups. Allows one person to dominate all the conversation. In every DG, there's one person talk a lot. Agree or not? Wow, your DG very good. Everybody talks. I'm glad. Okay? Don't allow one person to dominate any small group. Okay? At the same time, there's always someone who offers all the answers one. Every problem you share, I got answer one. That also will not help. We need to share life together, be transparent. There are some issues that have no answer on this side of heaven. We need to walk with one another through the problem, the struggles. That's important. You keep quiet during the meeting, nothing happens. Or you view the group as a gossip group. I hear this nice story. Hey, quickly, I tell my friend. Sure, die one. Okay? Nothing will happen. You meet too long, get too long-winded, also you'll fail. You promise 1 hour, commit 1 hour, you set up 1 hour, keep to that 1 hour. Exceptional cases may 1.5 hours. But don't go on forever and ever. That's important. And we must be willing to be challenged to grow in our faith. Willing for people to speak into our life. To receive with love because they love us, they care for us. Allow them to speak into our life. That is important for us to grow together. So in summary, the greatest fear of gift groups is being vulnerable and being judged. I share, what would they think? I share, I'm vulnerable. They know my deepest secrets. They know my weakness. They know my sins. That will be our struggle. You ask ourselves, what would they think of me? Would they still accept me? So the bottom line is, key is trust. That's why the group must be small. That's why the group must be people who are covenanted to share life together. Main purpose to help one another grow in the Lord. That is important. If you are vulnerable, it helps us to overcome. If I know that I need to go to this small group and say what I've done, then it helps me to keep a check on myself. It helps me to control my temper, helps me to do what is right. Not only before God, but before my brother. Because I got to be open and say, if you fail, you fail. Say it's okay, you fail. But at least you make an attempt to change. And that is the first step to making a difference. Being judged will help you to grow. Not in a judgmental sense, but people telling you, encourage you to do what is right. I think a lot of us, the first need that we need to do is to admit that we are sinners. If you know that you are a sinner saved by grace, then it helps you to know that my brother is also a sinner saved by grace. The other person is a sinner saved by grace. And this is the first step to say that none of us are born perfect. None of us are perfect by only by God's grace are we saved. And this is exactly what Alcoholic Anonymous does. Alcoholic Anonymous, everybody who shares, the first statement is what? What do they say? I am an alcoholic. They recognize the problem. They recognize the shortcoming. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to change. The same for you and I. I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. But I want to good. I want to change. I want to grow. I want to mature in the Lord. And that will help us to make a difference. Ultimately, actually, you are your own judge. You are your own judge. It will not be easy to get started. But then, unless we start, nothing changes. As I said, 200 billion cells lost every day. Your body needs to continue to grow and make new things. The same with us as the body of Christ. We need to venture out into the unknown to make a difference. The question I asked after last night's sharing, how do I start or join a gift group? Okay? My explanation will be pray. Pray for someone with a kindred spirit on the same page as you. Chemistry is right. Pray. That God will reveal to you or you have somebody in mind willing to ask people whom you can relate to, would you want to start a group? Would you be willing to start a group? Or you ask God to send someone who asks you, hey, brother, would you like to start a group? All this is possible. Okay, make it known that you are keen to be part of a gift group. How this will happen, we need to work out the mechanics. I'm glad after last night sharing, people are already being contacted. Hey, brother, are you going to start a gift group or not? Can I be part of it? I think that's important. A willingness to step out of our comfort zone and be uncomfortable because we want to grow. Because we grow in the Lord, we want to mature in the Lord. Our core values as a church remains the same. Very basic. Prayer intercession continues. We want to hear, obey God's will. We want to continue to be an intergenerational church where everyone is accepted. No comparison, no condemnation, no competition with one another. We want to grow together through the different ages. Whole area of discipleship and discipling, as I just shared with you. We want to be a disciple of Jesus, producing other followers of Jesus. That is important. To us, it's not happening enough. It needs an impetus to make a difference. We are also a worshiping church, that all of life is a worship, no matter where you are. Not only in Sunday, not only in your car where you play nice music, but life is a worship at your workplace, at your home, where you play. Whole area of giving, we are all stewards of God's resources. And the whole area of sending, I will share this much more, possibly next week, okay? And to make it a diagram form, you know about Haggai 2:9, okay? The glory of the little house with greater and glory than the former house. I think that's important. At the end of it, Isaiah 57 is still important to us, okay? That this house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, building on the whole area of transforming lives, expanding God's kingdom, whole area of intergenerational church, whole area of discipleship, whole area of worshiping, giving, and sending. And we hope that this will become part of our DNA as a church, as a body of Christ, that we can reach out to the world out there. There's so much needs the Lord. So moving on forward, we know this very well. We give a bookmark. We know about being of Jesus. We know about being with passion, going with a purpose, doing with power. The two verses are still key to us, as I quoted just now, Haggai 2:9 and Isaiah 56:7. Okay? So as we move forward to 2019, let me reaffirm, DG is still foundational. DG is still foundational. Don't say, I don't want to go to DG and go to gift group. If you cannot function in the DG, you will not function in the gift group. So DG is still foundational, it still carry on, okay? Gift is just a way forward. Possibly not for everyone, I wish everyone would join, but for those who desire and those willing to make a commitment that I want to grow in the Lord this year. Lord, help me. Help me to find the time, help me to find the person that I can walk alongside with, can walk alongside with me. That is important, okay? We are revamping our youth ministry. Can you pray for them? And this one I forgot to share last night. I will share here. Ask Pastor time. What is this? Okay, Ebenezer, we have a column called Ask Pastor. Nobody asked me anything. So, since you don't ask me, okay, I'm not asking anything, okay? So I'm making myself available second Sunday every month, that's next Sunday already, after service, I will make myself available to answer any question you may have. Now, don't go ask me your math question, your biology question, those are not the one I'm asking for, okay? Anything about spiritual things, about things in your life and all that, you want to talk to me, I'll make myself available right in front here. You need privacy, you go to Shalom Room. Okay, just to talk. I'll make myself available, and we just spend time talking. Okay, so if you have any questions, any things you want to bring up, by all means, bring it up. Okay, every second Sunday of the month, Holy Communion Sunday anyway. These are key days that we gave you last week. I think also gave out this week. Okay? DGLs, there's a change. 5th October, change to 12th October, please. Okay, I'm just reminded there's a very important event on 5th October. So I've got to change it to 12th October. Okay, just do a slight change. Next year, our Give Day speaker is Jim Yoss. I asked him, he quickly said, yes, I'm coming. Okay, he's somebody we are supporting over the years. Pray for Jim Yoss. And because he's coming, he wants to do a DIMM conference or seminar, Discipleship Making Movement Seminar. Our church camp will be 28th to 30th June. A church camp, our speaker this year is Dr. Daniel Ho. He has kindly consented, even though he got another engagement on that weekend. He postponed, he changed the date and made himself free for us. Okay? And this year, as we read through the Old Testament chronologically, we should end by December. We'll do a session of walking through the Old Testament with Pastor Stephen Lowe. Stephen Lowe, okay? He'll be coming to do a walk through the Bible. You have not done it. Walk through the Old Testament with us, 6th and 7th of December. So after all that I shared, this caught my mind. Scientists find out why married couples look alike. Agree or don't agree? Yes. Okay. Auntie Mary said yes. Go on to say, scientifically proven reasons why couples eventually start to look alike. Thirdly, this is why couples look alike after a long time together. So are you not married long enough yet? Marry longer, then you look alike. I find very fascinating the explanation. Explanation for this is that couples who have been together for long, we have gone through a lot of shared experiences that left similar lines on their faces. And the couples would therefore begin to look more and more similar. You go through struggles, all your frowning lines come on. Happy time, all your happy lines come on. After a while, you smile and cry together. Okay. So in essence, couples would have had a lot of moments of shared laughter, shared sadness. We have gone through a lot of emotions together. We will leave the same facial lines on them. And this psychologist, they says, relationship is why couples look alike after a long time together. Relationship we have. Now, why am I sharing this in closing? Let 2019 be the year of the gift. We talk about gift groups. Let 2019 be the year you give a gift. Let 2019 be a year you receive a gift. Let 2019 be the year you become a gift. I started this message with saying that since 2016, we have talked about being with Jesus. And many of you enjoy being with Jesus. But I tell you that there's so much more to being with Jesus. If you spend time being with Jesus, building on the relationship with your Lord and Savior, let 2019 be the beginning of what I call becoming like Jesus. No, you say being. But if we spend enough time together with Jesus, as they talk about relationship, we just pray that 2019, you'll start becoming like Jesus. That you want to grow in your life, grow in the discipling, grow in the discipleship, and touch another life, another brother, another sister for the Lord. That together you can grow. Together you can make a difference. You can't do it alone. We need another brother, another sister to do that. So if I share with you my heart, as they play the song, Making a Difference, I don't know how you perceive it, you accept it, you receive what I've shared, but only if you say, God, I want to change. I want to grow. I want to become like you this year. If that is your desire, I'm not going to hold you accountable for it. It's between you and the Lord. Only then do you stand up. That you want to become like Jesus. No longer just being with Jesus. But I want to take one step of faith and become like you. We sing this song, making a difference. It's between you and the Lord. You say, I want to grow, Lord. Help me to grow. Help me to find somebody who help me to grow. Help me, Lord, to be accountable. Help me, Lord, to be a gift, to become a gift, to receive a gift. Between you and the Lord. If you want to do that, I invite you to stand and make the commitment to Almighty God. You see our children, Lord, standing before you. We desire, Lord, to grow in you. We desire, Lord, even Lord, to grow in the fullness of Christ for each one of us. We want to become like you this year. So I just pray, Lord, that you, O Lord, who sees our hearts, our desire, will answer them and honor our Christ. That truly, O Lord, that you will help us to make a difference in our life this year and for all years. We just thank and just praise you in your holy and matchless name. Amen.